This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Oh, hi, G.
My computer stopped.
Al's computer froze up in the middle of the rejoin.
Oh, so nice.
This was a perfect confluence of events here.
Yes.
It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio. So Boomer's showing me this funny video, and I go, we're coming back here. Boomer goes, it's okay. Just watch the end of this. And then the music dies.
Go. Yeah, and the music dies.
It shows you. You just got to come right back out of it. Okay, so we'll get the computer stuff figured out and all of that coming up. We did open with the football stuff with Matthew Stafford staying with the Rams, and if the Giants are going to go the route of Aaron Rodgers, and then the basketball stuff as well we got to with the Knicks and St. John's. If you want to join the show, 888-808-1019, you can always go back on the free Odyssey app and listen to all of that. More injuries in spring training. Luis Gil, we find out, is having to get checked out, MRI. Bad news there, could miss some time. I still cannot and I will not understand why there are so many unbelievably, you know, confounding injuries during spring training. I mean, it's just one after another after another after another with the baseball players. But it's another thing that the Yankees are going to have to deal with as this guy wins the Rookie of the Year last year. Is a big surprise, going to be a huge part of the rotation, and now we got to wait and see if he's going to miss a significant amount of time.
Well, and the other thing, too, for them is that they still haven't seen Giancarlo Stanton since he left. And maybe he'll be back this week. Maybe he'll be back today. I'm not sure. Supposedly got PRP injections in both elbows. He is going to be shut down, and he is not going to start the season with the New York Yankees. He'll start on the injured list. And I don't know what to tell you about why these guys all get hurt, but it is the longest of the preseasons, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's just because they play so many games.
Yeah, but all these happen right in the beginning, it feels like. I understand we'll have injuries during the regular season.
Right? It's about 6 weeks of preseason, right?
You figure middle of February to the end of March?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. Football is, you know, they don't even play. They play three games.
Yeah, but they have 3 weeks of training camp, right?
Right. And then, yeah, but I feel like it's 4.5 weeks to get ready for the season. Maybe five.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe this is one of the reasons why spring training is so long. You know, to get these guys up and running, especially the pitchers, especially early in the season when the weather is cold in a lot of these opening cities.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's crazy for the Yankees to go through what they're going through right now. And, of course, the Mets have lost two starting pitchers already.
That's right. And we don't know exactly the extent of this shoulder injury for Luis Gil. But any time that, you know, they have to get an MRI and he's feeling tight and all of those things, it could end up being okay. But it's just
I don't want to hear about impingements.
No. Who had that impingement? That was Jacob DeGrom had that impingement.
Didn't he have that impingement, man? It's impossible to throw with an impingement.
Yeah,
you know, impingements are tough. You know, and because you never know. I mean, it could be you know, in and around the like this whole shoulder area where I swear to God, and I think Phil Simms would concur with me on this.
Yeah,
we used to have those 2-a-days where we would practice in the morning. The ball would be so heavy.
Yeah.
And we'd be out there throwing comebacks and throwing all of our different route tree stuff. And then you'd get into, you know, your 7-on-7 drills. And then you get into your team drills and you're throwing the whole day. And then you got to come back in the afternoon and do it all over again. And I don't know. I don't know if I ever had an impingement, man. But my elbow was screaming at me.
Tennis elbow?
It must have been.
Football elbow?
All I remember is after morning practices, be the first couple of days I'd feel pretty good. I'd have pretty good liveliness in my arm. And then all of a sudden you get dead arm in the middle of, like, you know, 2 to 3 weeks into it. And I'd be sticking my arm down into like a sleeve of ice water after the practice was over. And you couldn't go to your coach and say, you know, I can't pick up the ball and throw it.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear that.
Sure. Especially back then.
Ugh.
Like, no, you, I don't care. Suck it up, Buttercup. Go out there and throw the ball.
Suck it up, Buttercup is right. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with baseball, man. I mean, with all the soft tissue-ish injuries. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand the football thing with the knees and the elbows and the shoulders.
Contact sports and all these things.
Yeah. And I thought I think the rash of Achilles injuries over the last 2 years has been significant.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and at high levels and quarterbacks and running backs.
That means it's got to have something to do with the shoes and it's got to have something to do with the turf.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. But guys actually get hurt on grass, too.
That, well, of course. You know, I talked to the equipment manager of the Eagles that day that we did the game, and I asked him about the MetLife turf because, you know, we were talking about everything. And he said the reason why the players don't like that turf is it grabs, like the normal cleat. They have to go to a different cleat now. So this is what they've learned after all these injuries. But that turf grabs more than normal.
Didn't they change the turf?
Yeah, but it's still not as good. It might have gotten a little bit better, but it didn't get all the way better. So they switched to a completely different cleat now to deal with the MetLife turf. It says it's been better. So it's a combination of the turf and the equipment, all that. But the NFL makes sense why guys get hurt. You know, like a million different injuries with pitchers. I mean, this is the reason, one of the main reasons why David Stearns doesn't give long-term deals to pitchers.
Smart.
It is smart. But then again, when he brings in a couple of guys, you know, with injury history, you know, mainly Frankie Montas, and then he ends up getting hurt because he got him on a short deal and not that expensive, then, you know, that could blow up in your face, too.
He realizes that, and plus they seem like they have a nice group of young pitchers behind them coming up behind, you know, this group of older pitchers that they do have. And maybe some of these guys are going to get an opportunity early here in the season because of these injuries. And quite frankly, you know, you got to have 1,000 pitchers in your organization. I mean, you just never know when one of these guys is going to go down, or maybe when you actually find a diamond in a rough.
Yeah. 24 days till opening day. It is this month. I flipped my Jerry Recco calendar over this morning.
Yep.
And it's a picture of a hawk in the sky, and it says, it's still a bird and you're still a moron, which made me smile today.
See, that's why Jerry does these things.
To make people smile.
Right, because when you flip it over and you see it, you say, oh, I've heard that before.
Yeah. March 27th in Houston for the
At least the Mets know that they're going to be indoors.
That's right.
Or they'll have that thing open because I'm sure it'll be warm in Houston. It was warm in San Antonio this week.
Oh, it must have been great. Did you walk around? What's that little area that they have?
It's the River Walk.
Did you walk around the River Walk?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
You should have.
I didn't.
Is it the only thing that place is even known for, right? That
the Riverwalk, and they got the Alamo Dome.
Right, and the larger women.
I guess they have larger women, I guess.
Well, that's what Charles Barkley says. I
know that, but you keep reiterating.
Well, that's all the thing I know about, you know? It's the only thing I know about San Antonio. The Riverwalk, the Alamo. Is the Alamo there?
Yes, the Alamo, yes, of
all right,
course.
So the Alamo, the Riverwalk, larger women.
Right.
And the Spurs.
The Spurs.
That's all I got. Yeah, I mean, that's really all I got.
See, this is my room. I took a picture out of my room, and there's the Alamo Dome.
Look at that.
The dirty window, huh?
It's really, they really hooked you up there.
Yeah, they did. Yes, it's a filthy window. But how about that view, though?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking for the train tracks.
That's a lot of concrete. The train was on the other side of the hotel, and I can still hear it. But that's that convention center I was telling you about.
Who'd you speak for?
PPG out of Pittsburgh.
Get out of here, really? Yeah.
Yes.
Because PPG Arena is the name of the hockey arena now.
Yes.
PPG Paints.
I thank those folks in Pittsburgh that they actually hired an ex-Cincinnati Bengal to come and speak at their at one of their conventions, so it was great.
Wow. Why would they go from Pittsburgh to San Antonio?
You know why? Because it was a group of all of their platinum dealers for this one part of their company.
Yeah.
And they're from all around the country, in Mexico and Canada and I guess that's a central location and was reasonably good weather. And I know that they were going to a rodeo on Saturday night.
Nice. Did you go to the rodeo?
I got invited, but I didn't go to the rodeo.
Have you been to a rodeo?
I have been to a rodeo, yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fine.
Like all the bull riding and the whole thing and the...
Yes.
What did they do the rodeo clowns? Did you see rodeo clowns?
Saw rodeo clowns. Yeah, that's... I mean, I did it once.
You got on a bull once?
No, I didn't get on a bull. I got on a bull in a bar. That was the dumbest thing I ever did.
Did you stay on there for a while?
Maybe for about 5 or 6 seconds.
It's harder than you think, right?
And then I came down on my shoulder. Thank God it was my right shoulder. And I was actually playing at the time. I was still in the NFL at the time.
What hurt more, getting thrown off that bull on your shoulder when you slipped on the ranch in the bathroom of White Eagle Hall and hurt your shoulder?
The White Eagle Hall.
Yeah.
Slipping on the ranch dressing.
Occupational hazards of Boomer
Geo. I could have sued somebody, but I didn't.
You could have. That is true.
But I'm not. I don't do that kind of thing.
Hidden Valley Ranch. You could have gone after for everything they were worth. Chris and Hal, what's going on, Chris?
Hey guys, I'm in talking about guys getting hurt at spring training. I'm in construction, and I work with guys that eat pork roll, egg, and cheese every day. They drink energy drinks. They don't stretch or anything, and they never get hurt like these baseball players do.
Now, but let me ask you a question, though, Chris. I mean, you know, the construction workers aren't running, are they? Like, there's no soft tissue injuries. I mean, you can lose a finger, maybe you smash a foot up or something like that, but you're not pulling a hamstring, are you?
No, I mean, you're sure you can get a finger cut off accidentally, yeah. But these guys also work through little pains like that. You know, they're not... soft like these candy ass baseball players.
Yeah, you know, it's an impossible thing to argue, Chris. It really is. I mean, and I don't know how much it is with the players or the teams holding these guys back. Maybe some of these guys want to play through these things and the teams are saying no, don't, because you have these guaranteed contracts. We got to make sure we get this thing right before we throw you back out there. But nevertheless, it's really annoying to every day there's some other issue with some other guy.
And for some reason, it feels like the last 10 years, the teams here in New York have been dealing with just like a litany of injuries, like things we've never even heard of before.
Do you see the window washer guy that got
hung up there? Yeah. And they had to go rescue him.
Oh, I want to talk about a straight up nightmare.
You know, I was talking to you about turbulence on that plane that I was on the other night.
Uh-huh.
There was a plane going into Houston the same day. Dealing with mad turbulence, and 5 people got injured. See, that's no joke. When that pilot comes out there and he says what he said,
yeah,
that's no joke, man. You gotta take that stuff seriously.
Do the people not have their seatbelts on?
I didn't get that far into the article, but I will say that there were 5 people injured due to severe turbulence going into Houston.
It wasn't who had the upside down flight.
That was Delta up in Toronto.
Oh, it was? Was this a Delta flight, too? To get them lawyers ready.
No, this is a United flight.
Get them lawyers.
I was on United, and United was great.
Oh, yeah. Newark's a big United hub, right?
Yeah, and that Terminal A over there is awesome.
I know. You got it. I mean, every time I've flown out of Newark, handful of times, it's been a really nice experience, yeah. I got to say. Doug in Morganville. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Doug. What's up?
Not much. Listen, you're talking about all these injuries in football and stuff. I was watching a program the other day with my son-in-law, and it was all these highlights of, like, Lawrence Taylor and everybody. And I said to him, look at the shoulder pads that these guys are wearing today, back then, as opposed to what they're wearing today. And you always see during these games, these guys are getting shoulder injuries. They're all sticking their hands up their shoulder pads because they're getting all these injuries. You think it's because they're taking impacts right on their shoulders now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. We see a lot of triceps and biceps injuries, tears, and things of that nature. That's
pecs.
For sure.
Get some
pecs,
of those.
The pecs go. Yeah, I mean, I think that was Michael Bennett. You said,
who had the smallest shoulder pads. Yeah,
didn't even wear shoulder pads.
Yeah, they were like.
And if you watch a college football game, the guys don't even wear thigh pads and knee pads anymore. And most of the football pants are cut as if they are tight shorts they're wearing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day when I was wearing those giant shoulder pads for Belport football, I mean, that's what the pros were wearing, too.
I was wearing big pads.
Big-ass pads like
that. I actually took my pads from Maryland with me to the pros.
Did you?
I did, and I think I wore them almost my entire career.
Wow. I remember if we didn't, like, get physical enough for the Belport football coaches, they would put a monetary value on our pads that was, like, ridiculous. Like, get your head in there. You're wearing a $7,000 helmet. $14,000 shoulder pads. That girdle's $500 with your tailbone pad in there.
Did you have one of those suspension helmets when you first started? No, you're much younger than I did. I had a suspension helmet.
What is that? I don't even know what it is.
Right, so it's a helmet just like we have back here.
Mm-hmm.
But inside of it, it was like you wore it like a headband. And it sat on your head with no pads in it.
Oof.
So if you actually hit your head, there would be like a plastic knob in the center of the helmet that would dig into the top of your head.
Oh, my God. How stupid.
Oh, yes. I had that when I was in ninth grade.
Wow.
It wasn't until I got to 10th grade that we actually have a Rydell helmet as we kind of know today.
Yeah.
And it's obviously been vastly improved over the last 30 years. But, yeah, that was the first time I actually had a real football helmet was when I was a 10th grader.
Yeah, back when I was playing, we even had the pumps. You know, you pump it up.
Yeah, yeah, we had that, yeah.
That was great. Nice and tight. Go out there.
Slam your head.
Yeah, right. Slam my head into some dude.
Get up!
From Deer Park. Let's go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. After we talked to CeeLo about not raising a lot of money for the bike tour, actually it was $0 at the time on Friday. The listeners who heard about that donated so much that he is over $6,000 now. So that is
amazing.
Amazing. Yes.
Hasn't done anything. Hasn't lifted a finger.
Doesn't even have a full team yet.
And all you have to do is ask me. The fact that we had this discussion on Friday was amazing because I wasn't even thinking about it. And then you asked me about it, and then I checked the website, and I was like, I see he has raised up to $75 at that point.
Which is the fee that you have to pay to join.
Yeah,
so it's not even it's not even raising money. He had to do that. So, $6,663.
Wow, that is amazing. How many donors?
93.
Very nice.
That is awesome.
Yeah, now he moved up his goal to 10,000.
Good.
It was like, what was it, original, like 1,500 or something, 2,500?
Yeah, hopefully you got in touch with Katie in Staten Island. You think that happened, Al?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say he called right after he walked out of here.
Yeah, he was a little nervous on Friday.
Did you hear what CeeLo did, Jerry, on Friday?
No, Al filled me in this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so you did hear about it then.
Yeah, but I didn't hear it, but yes, I heard what happened.
Oh, God, it was so funny.
I heard he had a tough time.
I was like, do not say anything about this.
That too.
Yeah, I was having a big fundraiser at Briley Beach.
I'll go.
Yeah, what are you going to announce? That you and Jerry could do it together.
Well, I don't have it set yet, but I am working on something, and I hopefully something happens. But, you know.
It's out of your control, really.
Well, you know, it's in the preliminary stages.
Yeah, CeeLo dimed him out in the worst way on Friday.
Did.
So bad.
That's not smart.
He's like, and I find out this morning that Al's working on a fundraiser. And Al's face is like, what? You son of a bitch.
Oh, that's great.
That's funny.
Okay, Jerry, what's happening in sports?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. First, the nuts and the bolts of the Knicks, then a couple of things from the NBA, sort of. Knicks beat the Heat in overtime, 116-112.
Half a minute to go. Knicks could Tire take the lead. Brunson in the lane. Running layup is good. We're tied.
And that was pretty much the story of overtime. Every time the Knicks needed a big shot, number 11 to the rescue, Jalen Brunson scores 31. Knicks battled back from 19 down in this game. They had a big run in the third quarter and then win in overtime, 116-112. Here was Brunson on MSG. You played lousy in the first half. What did Tibbs say at halftime?
We know we're capable of as a team, and Tibbs knows that. So he just had to remind us. And then, when we took a slow start like that, obviously we got to come back with some fire. And, we decided to do that a little late, but it helped us get a win.
He shot 13 of 25 on the night. Karl Anthony Towns, 19 points, 16 rebounds, and Josh Hart had 14. Speaking of Hart, you have the Roommates podcast between these two guys. They do it together every week. And so at one point during the course of the conversation, Hart has to get up, probably use the bathroom or something or whatever, as he exits stage left, as they would say.
You guys can have fun for the next 2 minutes.
You want to wait till he gets back?
No, I don't.
How much better of a team are the Knicks when Josh Hart shoots and makes open threes?
You picked a great time to talk about this.
He'll hear it when it comes out.
No, he won't. because we'll stop it by the time he gets back.
And what he didn't want Hart to hear was him basically praising him.
It's two different teams. Like the willingness, him shooting it. Like I've said on the pod, the Mets have yelled at him to shoot the ball. I've seen him work out. I've seen him shoot, right? He puts in the work. It's crazy to say that.
See, you wouldn't say that if he was
I would not say that if he was there. But like he shoot. I'm like, yo, shoot the ball.
So do you think we'll see a different Josh Hart? That's interesting, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need him to do that in the postseason. I mean, I think that if he could do what Dante DiVincenzo was doing last year, or even a slice of that, that's going to be a huge deal for the Knicks.
Didn't he also get hurt when, didn't he play, he was playing hurt in the playoffs, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think everybody else.
I think it was, yeah. And, you know, look, he's a great teammate. He's the great, you got to have a guy like that on your team that is going to do all the dirty work, going to get the rebounds, especially the offensive rebounds that he gets. Yeah, his shooting is good. I wouldn't say it's great. It's not Dante DiVincenzo type of shooting. That's what Miles McBride is supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Well, he's not doing it enough, Josh Hart, according to Jalen Brunson.
Right.
So
that was the point.
Yeah, but I mean, like, how many shots are you going to take, and who are you taking shots away from? That's really what it comes down to.
There's only one basketball.
You know it, and I know it. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else knows it, too.
Yeah.
Knicks 2.5 games behind the Celtics, who beat the Nuggets 110-103. The Knicks are 40-20. They'll take on the Warriors tomorrow. All right, elsewhere from the NBA, kind of. So, George Karl, Hall of Famer, had a monster NBA career as a coach.
He got his face bitten by a German Shepherd.
No, but close.
No, he did.
He did?
Yeah, back in the day. It's where that huge scar
is.
Is
that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was what that was from. I thought you were just...
No, he's actually... That happened.
Wow, crazy. So on the Gills Arena podcast with Gilbert Arenas, Kenyon Martin is... I guess he's on there a lot. I don't know if he's on it for every episode. And why this came up, I don't know. But very clear. Again, Eddie, you're going to have to listen here. Make sure I got everything. Very clear that Kenyon Martin, very unhappy with Carl from his releasing of DeMarcus Cousins 10 years ago in his last stop. Again, why this came up, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's Kenyon Martin. He played in these parts. It was kind of fun. Here's Martin going after Carl.
When the fat motherfucker got the job in Sacramento and he tried to get rid of my man before his ink was dry. But you know what I'm talking about. Say it. Put a address.
Oh, they know everybody watch the show.
The whole world knows. My kid George Karl. Right,
so bleep George Karl because of his release. I'm getting to something. That's why I'm playing this. One more. He says, it's not just us. A lot of people didn't like the guy.
Never had a conversation with this man about nothing. Didn't get a chance to know this man. He just judged this man from afar. And that's why it ain't just, I'm not just saying George Karl for me. I'm saying George Karl for the people that really feel like George Karl.
So it's a whole movement.
Right? It's a whole movement of George Karl people out here.
I don't know why.
Why do you feel about George Karl?
Exactly. But the funny part is they know Kobe, not Kobe Bryant, but George Karl's son.
Oh, no. I had to let Kobe know, like, I ain't got no problem with you, but I'm saying I ain't going to hold you for your sins of your father, dog. I ain't got no issue with you, man.
But bleep your dad, essentially. Kobe Karl, I didn't know, was a coach on the Sixers.
Oh, okay.
I had no idea. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
So, this was when he was coaching. Well, what team
I think
was
the
this?
Kings.
The Kings. I so, think he went the to Kings. The Kings, and they got rid of DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's had to be a reason why they were
They were calling it that he went there, and because of reputation, just got rid of him without getting to know him
or anything. Okay.
That was their point. So, but Kenyon Martin speaking.
It wasn't like Cousins went on to have a Hall of Fame career, right?
I would say no.
Right.
But... still very interesting. Saturday, St. John's beat Seton Hall, and the reason why I play this is because they did clinch the outright Big East title, regular season title. Here was Rick Pitino post-game press conference. Nice to celebrate on Saturday.
But for St. John's, it's a special night. It's been 25 years. For our student body, it's really, really special. Our university's done a tremendous job getting them back involved, and it's going to pay huge dividends down the road. Kids are going to want to come to St. John's now because they're going to be part of our team again.
And they went 26-4. Well, they got one game left, but they're 26-4 through 30, 17-2 in the Big East. Next up will be the Big East tournament.
Yeah, I was just looking at DeMarcus Cousins. I just wanted to refresh myself. So he played 7 years with the Sacramento Kings, and then George Karl sent him away.
Right.
I'm assuming, right?
That's what it sounds like. I don't remember specifically.
Like. So he played 2 years with New Orleans, 1 year with Denver, 1 year with Golden State, 1 year with Houston, 1 year with Milwaukee, and then 1 year with the LA Clippers. I mean, he played a long time, I guess, but played 654 games in 11 years. So maybe George Karl wasn't wrong.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just thought that was funny listening to Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, that's you all. Hear someone say F George Karl 15 times in 16 seconds. It's fun.
I thought it was funny. Anyhow, baseball today, you got the Mets taking on somebody. They are playing the Marlins. Kodai Senga, the start. Here is Carlos Mendoza explaining the plan that we were talking about last hour.
He's doing good. He's pitching in games tomorrow. He's probably going to go just one inning on our game. But overall, it's good to see him healthy. Throwing the ball the way he's capable of, and I'm excited to watch him tomorrow.
And it'll be more than the one inning. He will apparently go to a backfield and throw a couple of either simulated innings or live BP innings.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the Mets, did I see that Keith Hernandez's condo's up
for
sale?
Yeah, he put that up on X. I was going to bring that up later. I mean, I don't know if it's genius or weird or both, but yeah, he put that up on X.
I said, Al, I thought it was a joke.
No, definitely not for Keith. I mean, it's, you know.
But yeah, I was surprised.
He puts up, you know, lots of interesting things up there at that X account from time to time.
His condo for sale?
Yeah, he's trying to get some people interested. He figures, hey, got fans out there. There's probably some Mets fans with some loot.
Yeah.
Put it out there for everybody to see.
Where is the condo, by the way? Do you know where it is?
Wow. It's right on the water,
you
though.
Know something?
No, it is.
I mean, that was the photo I saw. Was it 2.3, Al? 2.3 million?
Yeah, 2.3.
Beautiful looking condo.
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah, it's in Juneau. Something right. Juneau. I looked, the HOA fees, though, very expensive. $1,500 a month, just HOA fees. A little pricey.
I think Florida's trying to do away with property tax. No sales tax, no property tax. Let's go, boys.
I do think, okay. I do think, though, if you're worried about the HOA fees, you probably shouldn't buy the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, three beds, three baths, 1,700 square feet. 2.3, Juneau Beach. You know, I mean, if he does put his address out there, though, like if he doesn't sell this and he goes back, it's a little strange, you know?
I'd rather buy his house in Sag Harbor.
Okay.
Is he selling that one?
Probably not.
This needs a little work, you know, a little outdated. Brown kitchen cabinets. You'll have to do some work when you get in there, you know?
So it's 2.3 and then a investment when you get in.
Yeah, it looks very 90s in there. Yeah. I would say so, unless you want to keep it as is. Depends on who you are.
I mean, it's Keith Hernandez's place. How do you not keep it as is?
Have you met women? They're going to come in there and be like, no. I got to put my own time. I don't care who Keith Hernandez is. I'm putting my own flair on this thing.
We are different, are we not?
Oh,
my
course.
God.
Yep.
Also, of note, you guys were talking about how long spring training is. Well, here's Aaron Judge either yesterday or Saturday talking about what it takes for him to start to feel really regular season ready, how many ABs he wants.
40 to 50 is usually a pretty good number. I know. I think I had 30 last year, and I think that wasn't enough, especially how April started. So we're going to kick that up a notch a little bit and really get it ready for opening day.
And that was on the YES Network. Yankees take on the Pirates tonight. Max Fried on the mound for New York. The Rangers with a 4-0 win over the Predators.
There's a 3-on-2 Rangers. Quick transition. The lead to Keandre Miller. He scores! Ooh! Oh, yeah! That's a beauty!
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. That was Sam Rosen on MSG and Boomer chiming in, apparently. 4-0 the final. Miller, Panarin, and Keandre Miller scoring goals in this game. Jonathan Quick, 34 saves for the shutout win. Here was Peter Laviolette. A couple of shaky games coming out of that break. Are you trending in the right direction now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the first one out of the break for sure. And so that was tough. I think the other ones were hard fought. And I do think it's gotten better in the last couple of games.
And so now there are four games over 500. Well, sort of 30-26-4. Rangers take on the Islanders tonight. The Devils lost in Vegas 2-0. And they lost Jack Hughes late in the game with what looks like a shoulder injury. Here was Jacob Markstrom on the Hughes injury first.
You never want to see your teammate go down, and you just hope for the best, and you know that's all you can do.
But it did not look good at all as he went essentially headfirst into the boards. Did get out, get off the ice, but was holding the shoulder. You were asking about Markstrom last hour. This is Sheldon Keefe on his return.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. Looks like a guy that didn't miss any time. So credit to him and the work that he put in to be ready. He was great.
And Keefe was ejected in this game after the injury and the hit on Hughes. And then in golf, you know how I don't know this feeling. I don't know if you do, G. Boomer might. Some people can just roll out of bed and hit a golf ball.
Have you seen the video with Horvat, Mickelson, John Daly, and John Daly's son yet?
No, it just dropped early this morning, so I didn't get a chance to see it.
So this was like the little trailer. You got Horvat and Mickelson going back and forth. You think we can get in this guy's head and kind of just, you know, knock him down a peg, and then they pan over to Daly, who was wearing a crazy outfit, the Santa Claus beard, lights himself a cigarette, and does exactly what you think he'd do.
It's a beautiful day.
What do you think's in there?
To play golf my way.
What's in there? I don't know. That's,
ain't nobody getting in my head today. Take that earthlings and I'll be on my way.
Right down the middle of the fairway. He looks like a mess.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You imagine just hit the ball. Like all the money. I mean, I'm sure he's made a lot of money, but the amount of money he has lost, I mean, because he should have been great.
He was for a little while.
And he was the personality.
Yeah.
He's everything that the guy who won the tournament yesterday is not.
That is true. You think he still signs at Hooters before the Masters? Isn't that where he does it at?
Yeah. But I think Hooters is going out of business.
Yeah, they are. Unfortunately. We got to the bottom of that. Not all of the Hooters. There's two different stuff, right? Explain this, Al.
The people who originally invented Hooters, they own the Hooters in Florida and Chicago. They're good. They're thriving. They sold the rights to Hooters for this other company, Hooters of America, to take it nationwide. They're screwing it up.
So there's two Hooters.
There's two different Hooters.
Two different Hooters. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe, but then again, bankruptcy doesn't mean you're going out of business.
True.
Reshuffling some debt, maybe.
Long live Hooters.
Right. So, and the Masters coming up in a few weeks, so maybe he'll be out there at Augusta outside the gates.
Well, no, he'll be inside the gates because he won Augusta.
But does he play anymore? I didn't think he participated in that anymore.
He might go to the Champions Dinner, but I don't think he's playing.
Right.
Then again, maybe he is. Who the hell knows?
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So here we're accountability guys, right? Hands up accountability. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So if we're wrong about something, we never say stuff like, oh, we never said that. Never said it. I didn't say it. So I didn't say it. Okay. So a couple of things I'd like to correct here. And I should have been on top of the one, which was John Daly never won the Masters. So my buddy Greg Noon, who I think he actually did win the Masters.
The Nooner.
He
came in third in the Masters.
Greg but Noon or John Daly?
No, John Daly.
Oh, John Daly, okay.
But he did win the British Open?
He won the British Open, and he won the PGA.
PGA, okay.
Right. So we got to get that right. No green jacket, no Champions Dinner, no nothing for John Daly. And I'll be watching that video with him and Phil and his son and everything else later today. And then also, you know, I kind of thought this was the case, but I didn't want to bring it up, and I looked it up. So I remember that Kenyon Martin, George Karl audio, and I'm like, man, like, did he go after George Karl again? And no, he did not. The audio that Jerry played was from 1 year ago, February 24th, 2024.
My mistake. I apologize.
Why would Jerry do that?
But he thought it was new.
He thought that was new?
He thought it was new.
It's not labeled. Was he listening to old podcasts?
You know, I guess. I don't know. But, hey, we're just cleaning a couple things up. That's all. We all make a lot of mistakes. Yeah,
listen, we want to clean it up. We want to be accurate.
Yeah, so we're just cleaning it up. That's all. It was not a good update for all of us.
Yeah.
You know? We're all culpable.
Yeah, clean it up. Clean it up.
It's cleaning it up.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I still stand by my statement that John Daly was so gifted and had the personality.
Yeah.
And could have been something that... Unfortunately, I think he had, about a handful of PGA Tour wins and, like, a couple of majors, and which I think exempts him for a lot of different things to a certain point.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think he's a great personality. I think he's great for golf. But, you know, hopefully he lasts a long time, which I don't necessarily know that he's living the way that you would think that somebody who would last a long time would live.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. It's like a delicate thing. You don't want to be like, oh, you know, this guy looks like he's going to die anytime soon. You don't want to say something like that. But he obviously has lived balls to the wall for a very long time. I mean, I can't imagine that his liver is in good shape. I think he dealt with some sort of cancer recently, I think. Or something that was not good. So I do. He's an unbelievable character. He seems to be a great guy. But you know, he lives his life a certain way. And when he did that, I got to be honest with you. When he did break 50 with Bryson,
yes,
it was tough for me to get through because he got like so drunk towards the end. He was singing everything. So like when the clip that Jerry played of John Daly singing, he's like, "You're not going to get in my head." He did that for about a half an hour straight during that video. Everything he did, I'm going to put the tee in the ground, put the ball on the tee, you know, hit my driver down the fairway. It's like, John, shut the hell up already.
Well, yeah. So that's his thing then.
I guess so.
And by the way, he was the PGA Rookie of the Year back in 91 and the PGA Tour Comeback Player of the Year in 2004.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's been a personality ever since. I mean, let's face it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's great.
He's kind of like, I don't want to say like the Charles Barkley of the PGA Tour, but like he's that type of personality, bombastic and just doesn't give a crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. He could never last on a broadcast, though.
No.
Like Charles Barkley's a professional. He could do his thing on a broadcast. He cannot. You know what I mean? Maybe more Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
I'll say that, because Dennis Rodman couldn't do a broadcast.
I mean, yeah, that would be interesting, listening to him do like an NBA championship series and being a guest analyst.
Is he still tight with Kim Jong-un, that Dennis Rodman?
Well, we're going to find out, right? The D-Train will let him know, send him over there.
I mean, what a weird one that was. He went over there and hung out with him all the time. Dennis True. Rodman! It's just wild. But John Daly is just, I mean, he wouldn't be able to get through one of the broadcasts sober. There's no way.
Yeah, I'm sure people have reached out and maybe thought about that.
Having him be on TV?
I would think way back when, maybe not now.
Like they, you know, in the world of PGA, having Kevin Kisner do the commentary is like controversial to them because he might, you know, say the word ass or something. So there's no way they would put John Daly on there. No way.
I mean, like, I feel bad for NBC because and I'm happy for Highsmith who won yesterday. I mean, that's a great achievement for him as a young man, and his mom was there and the whole thing. It's great. But there was absolutely no excitement or juice, especially when the guy who wins the tournament is in the tent and it's done. And yeah. The guys behind him are all, you know, falling off the lead.
He's got that giant hat, that sombrero thing that he's wearing.
That's what I gotta wear.
No juice. Yeah, but I mean, you're also not a guy who's winning a tournament that's on NBC that like, people gotta pay attention to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
It looks silly. But I understand. You got fair skin, you gotta protect yourself in the sun. I do understand those things, but when this guy that you never heard of is winning, he's got that giant stupid hat on. It looks...
I know it's nothing, you know, he was just steady the whole tournament. Just steady, 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 steady. As where, you know, Jake Knapp was the kind of guy like the rest of us.
Yep.
Like, we're going to try to do something that's impossible. Why we've done this before. I'm sure. I bet you Jake Knapp has done that before.
I don't know, man. It's not something you practice, but I'm sure in a tournament he's probably ended up in the water at some point. I didn't hear what he had to say afterwards. But
I wonder what their ratings were yesterday.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like this yesterday made the TGL look like Oppenheimer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know. Like,
this was brutal.
So you got Bay Hill coming this week.
Well, yes. Or is it Bay Hill this week? Or is there something in between? I know. I might have been wrong about that.
When I was down in San Antonio, the driver who was taking me to the airport says they have the Texas Open down there.
Yeah.
The TPC. And I think it's probably either the tournament before the Masters, where a lot of guys don't show up because they're tuning up for the Masters.
Right. Yeah. No, it is this week. I was right. I doubted myself after the whole, you know, Jerry's audio and the John Daly thing. I started doubting myself now.
Mistakes, so what?
So, you know, I've been doubting myself. I was right. Yes, it is happening March 6th through the 9th. It's an elevated event. The purse is $20 million. So you get all the, and then Xander's back too. So Xander Schauffele, who won two majors last year, has been hurt. He'll be back playing his first tournament of the year. So this should be a good one. You're not going to see Highsmith, Knapp, and all these other guys. You're going to see the big boys in this
one. Big boys are going to show up.
The big boys, yeah.